Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Rod coming to you from The Rad Life. And today we have in the Shire, Scott Shire, and from Quintessential Financial Insurance Services Corporation, and Jim Sullivan from Career Direct. And our focus today is going to be on what do I do when I grow up? Okay. We all have ideas about what we should do. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them we regret. Some of them we tell everybody about. And we get some counseling earlier in life when we're in school or something, or guidance and so forth. And sometimes it's very personalized and sometimes it's not. And we go off on our life path and we plan for family and financial stability and retirement and all this stuff, and it's all towards this goal of getting to the point. It's almost sometimes funny, you know, we work so hard just so that we have a lot of time to spend doing nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Right, what is the ultimate luxury now? I've heard people are actually negotiating this in their contracts now, where it's not so much the extra pay but the extra time.
Right.
So yes. We're gonna talk about all of that, and we're gonna talk about, you know, what tools are out there, what some of the stuff is out there that can help people actually find a purpose and a passion, find a balance in their life, how to sort of maybe secure or provide or ensure that they can actually have that time to pursue, whether it's volunteer opportunities or giving back to the community or what have you. I've shared this with the gentleman here a little earlier, but I will share it with our listeners too. You know, I have a lot of friends that when I went to college, it was all, you know, this was back when the song was 50,000 a year buys you a lot of beer or something like that, right? And it was, you know, that was when I'm dating myself, but that's, you know, when I went to graduate school. And a lot of the people that graduated graduate school and equally also undergrad with me, you know, they went down the path of doctors and lawyers and bankers and all this stuff, you know, sort of the safe and secure pathways back in the day when it was starting to fade, but it was still somewhat safe and secure to pursue all of that. And these days, you know, you could spend 10 years in a company, 20 years in the company, and there's not necessarily the security. We talked about this, too.
We see that around. Yes.
Yeah. And so, in a way, it's scary, but I think it's also in a way, it's sort of an opportunity. If you have the support and the guidance when you face those moments of change in your life, how you navigate them. And just to finish the story about my friends from graduate school, and if anybody's listening, hi. This is not going to be bad. It's okay. A lot of them actually, after spending a number of years in corporate America, if you will, pharmaceutical companies, what have you, ended up then organically changing career path towards they started working for companies that were maybe a little bit more socially engaged or community involved. And it went, you know, some of them went from for-profit corporations to nonprofits, for example, you know, where the mix and the balance in their lives as far as what was going to be gratifying, rewarding to them became a little bit different as they got older. Some people are lucky. They find that balance earlier. Some people are not. Right. And then they find themselves where, you know, they've retired, they've put all their money in their savings, they're comfortable to see it through the rest of their lives, and then the market hits and what was it, between 2004 2009, about 40% of portfolio value went out the window for most people. And I'm 70, and I'm wondering not only what do I do with my life, but how can I afford it?
Yeah. So, it actually happened twice, you know. So it happened from 2001 to 2003, went down 40, 50%, and then again from 2008 to 2009.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, double whammy later on in life when you're thinking I'm just going to sit in my lawn chair and enjoy the rest of my life watching my grandkids. So it isn't, I don't think it's really age specific anymore. I think it can happen to people younger and older alike. And really, the underlying premise is we all want to have that passion, purpose, you know, in our life. And how do we find that balance? So I'm going to turn it off to Scott here for a minute. Give us a little background about you, Scott.
I was born at an early age. up in Seattle.
We all are again, actually. Yeah, born at an
you're sharp, America. Man. I can't pull that one over on you. But I was the son of two school teachers, and my dad, I'm in the financial industry, and you'd ask me, you know, how did I get interested in that? And I was always kind of enjoyed the math side of things, and he asked me to start tracking the stocks when I was 10 years old. So I did that, and every Sunday I'd...
That's right, people. He did say he enjoyed the math side of things, okay? So there are people like this. This is the caliber of people we have in the studio today, okay?
But you know what? In those career days, because all the junior highs or high schools will have a career day, so I thought, math, accountant, I must be designed to be an accountant. I spent a day with an accountant. I said, whoa, that was way too boring for me. So I had to figure out, what am I going to do? And I'll major math, but my dad was a school teacher, as was my mom, and he said, you don't want to be a math major, because then all you can be is a math teacher.
Interesting. Yeah.
So he said, be an engineer.
Okay.
So I became an engineer without really knowing what that would involve, other than it involved math.
Okay. And how, where did you take that, you know, the engineering advice? What happened to you then?
Well, went to the Air Force Academy, got a degree in engineering from there, but I still was always fascinated with the money side, so I was still always investing. I was doing taxes for people, and after doing 10 years of engineering, I voluntarily switched to doing the budgets.
Okay, but let's step back for when you were at the Aircraft Academy, Air Force Academy, sorry. Okay, you said something to me over lunch that was kind of interesting. You said that when you went in there, you declared... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we had to declare our major before we could go on spring break or sophomore year. And I don't think that's too unlike a lot of schools. Right. You got to declare. A lot of schools, you have to declare before you even get in there.
Yeah.
But here, I couldn't go on spring break until I declared a major. And I wanted to do comp sci, but I was so tired of the computers crashing on me. I said, I want nothing to do with computers again. So I couldn't figure out what to do.
Right.
Until my roommate came back in, smiling in the room, and asked him, why is this so happening? He said he declared a major. I asked him what. He said, aeronautical engineering. I asked him, why? He said, because the counselor was really nice. He said, good enough for me. What's his name? I went up there and signed up to be an aeronautical engineer, and that then mapped out the rest of my life, except for one optional course. Every other course was mapped out for the next 2.5 years, plus then my career after that.
So, again, your decision to go down that change of pathway was because your roommate said, hey, the counselor was a nice person.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, well, let's just make a life decision based on that, right?
Yeah, that's smart.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. You know, Jim, usually we've done this format with the show a little differently before, because we've had sort of one main guest in, and then we've kind of brought in the support thing. But I think it's important. Let's just go to you. Can you tell me how you find yourself in what you're doing?
Well, I've been in a nonprofit educational ministry for many, many years.
Okay.
And the focus there was stewardship, managing your gifts and abilities in a way that would honor the family and the relatives and the folks that work with them. And the last 3 years, I ran across a Career Direct, which is a assessment tool that helps folks understand how they were designed to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is in this critical area, many times they forget about what their work environment would look like, what their work outcome would look like, and how their life values fit into their personality, their career ideas, and where they think they want to go. But until you really dig deep into that, folks don't really know. And having a guide or a consultant, an accountability person to help you understand those things, many times you'll just breeze over an area of your life that could have been the area, but no one was there to really help you discuss it.
Right. It's very important, I think, the service that you provide. I don't think people realize just how important it is, because we're just, you know, head down, just keep going, and you just adjust as you go along. Mm-hmm. To have that kind of guidance early on in the process, to have even the wherewithal to seek it out, is incredible. It makes an unbelievable difference. I'm gonna just do a shameless plug for my wife that I know is listening.
Smart man.
Yeah. You know, happy wife, happy life, right?
Yeah.
So I won't disclose what institution it is, but it's an educational institution in Southern California, and for a lot of my wife's life, she has basically been a counselor, and she used to work for an entity that actually provided support for a lot of people that were, in many cases, the first in their families to actually go to college for an undergraduate, and you know, we just all assume that, you know, a person goes to college, it's a four-year degree, they get graduated in 4 years, and they move on to a master's degree or whatever. In many cases, it's 6 years and 7 years for them to do that because they've got all this other stuff going on in their life. They may be even paying for their own way and all this stuff. Well, in many cases, when there isn't that support system or the fact that she just texted me that she liked the fact that I plugged her on radio. So. I appreciate that, honey. Thank you. So the thing about it is that they provided support and encouragement to people that were in that position. They may not have it in their families, and not because the families did not want to be supportive, but didn't know how to go about being supportive. Mm-hmm. So they provided opportunities for leadership in the community. They provided, you know, volunteer opportunities where people's own self-confidence could be enhanced because they were actually accomplishing goals and things that are outside the homework kind of thing of it. So again, you know, Jim, I think what that service is just unbelievable, and I think everybody should know to go out and try to seek that kind of help because you really don't have to go it alone. And in many cases, if your field or your passion, I'll speak for myself, is more on the creative side, it doesn't really have the same quantifiable way to measure it or the satisfaction in doing it. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people, not ill-intentioned, will discourage people from pursuing that because it doesn't really fit the mold. You know, it's not the average way that people will, you know, follow this path or that path. Well, it used to be good advice. It used to be that unless you had the stamina and the fortitude to actually pursue something off on a tangent and that longer path of succeeding at it, you were better off to maybe go down a path that's more tried and true and safer, shall we say, right? But again, these days, that is no longer the case. There is no safer anymore. And whether you're 30, you're 20, you're 50, you're 70, it doesn't really matter. You find yourself in those situations where you have to reinvent your life. I'm going to hand it back to you, Jim, but I will share one thing that Peter Drucker, who was a professor of mine at Claremont Graduate School, shared one time, and it actually it's kind of funny what sticks with you, right? He said that on average, in a person's lifespan, they will change careers 5 times. Now, we assume that everybody's going to be on the same career path, and then maybe later on we'll take up painting or something, right, and do it in a small room somewhere until they haul them off, right? But it is actually more likely that you're going to find yourself at turning points in your life, that you're going to change career paths 5 times. So why not embrace that and empower people to do that? So tell me how you might be able to help with somebody like that, Jim, for example.
Well, let's start with young adults. We can start as young as 16, 17 years old. And what is absolutely incredible about Career Direct is that it invites the parents to be with their son or daughter. Let's take a 17-year-old young man. And through the 2.5-hour consultation time, after they've done this hour-and-a-half assessment, I get a chance to sit down and help them dig into their life in areas. Sometimes an area like athletics or music will come up high. And when we get to the end of the assessment or the end of the consultation, we find out that those were just either a means to an end or maybe a real vocational area for their life. But through this process, we get to talk about those, dig into it, and the parents will be sitting at the table. I'll invite them in to help out. As a matter of fact, we did this with Scott and two of his 5 children, with he and his wife there. And it was great to see his wife taking notes. Patty was just diligent about taking notes on how I was interacting with their daughter. And then she got to ask questions, and then I got to dig into areas because she was really passionate about certain areas that probably wouldn't have come up with her mom and dad. But with a third person like myself, a trusted person that can ask pertinent questions, then they got to see new sides. Was that
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a great process. And just it's taking information that the kids have put down, you know, or an adult doing it, what they put down, but to have it assimilated in a way that really re-clarifies what type of work are you really excited about and good at, and what kind of a work environment do you flourish best in? And
which is very critical. I mean, you could be the most well-intended, most qualified person in going into a job and the environment that you are in is completely a killer
right.
for that passion yeah. that you have, yeah. and then all of a sudden you're basically at risk of losing.
Right.
That As a matter passion. Of fact, those three areas that I mentioned earlier, environment, work environment, it is so specific for folks that when you get down to that area, we take a funnel. If you can imagine a funnel, and at the top is personality. And so we look very hard at the six personality traits. Then we go down and look at the vocational interests. And as we're going down this funnel, it's getting narrower and narrower. And we want to make sure that the vocational interests line up with the personalities. Then we look at skills and abilities. And do those natural innate skills match up with the vocational areas that you have a passion for?
Right.
And then does it match up with your personality?
Right.
Then we take the next look into work environment. And the work environment and work outcome, I think, have been the two most important in all the assessments that I have done, because this is where a person is going to thrive. And if they're not in it, they're not going to be happy campers in that job.
Well, and they won't last in it, and no. it will reflect right. in their work, and eventually it'll end up maybe being grounds for them not to be there. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think we all, if anybody has worked in an office environment with multiple employees or colleagues, whatever, you can see over time how sometimes that kind of attrition in the job place happens because of that. People's, you know, first day on the job, they can't be more eager to say, what else can I do? And then by the time, because of their work environment, because of the style of management that may be in there that is not conducive
yes.
to them, you know. And I remember when I was in a position where I had a few people under me, I actually tried to be very conscious of remembering, which again, I think a lot of people kind of forget sometimes, what it was like when you were in that position.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And whether what you received was conducive to your talents, or it was in fact something that was going to kill your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many factors, though, in yeah. there, too. A lot of times, I mean, we all have our preconceptions. Mm-hmm. Okay, are the factors, do you work alone or do you work with people? But how about, do you work in a cubicle where you have some isolation, or do you need to be in the outdoors, you know, in forestry? Do you need to be in a static sitting position doing it, or do you need to be in a more active, you need to be on the road? You know, all these mm-hmm. different things, you know, certain people thrive and others don't.
You couldn't be more on point there, Scott, because I've personally experienced this in my family with a cousin of mine who basically went down the path, got all his degrees and everything, ended up in an office environment.
Right.
The guy was dying under those fluorescent lights, okay?
Right.
Because all he really needed to do was be outdoors, whether it was working out of a car, in some sort of surveillance aspect, or in a national forest, or, you know, even police department, something. He was a people person, and being in that office, being very task or regimented, mm-hmm. you're working on that document, mm-hmm. that report, whatever, you could see him dying slowly. And he fortunately, you know, faced some changes in his life and was able to find the support through his marriage that basically helped him take that risk. So,
and that's the biggest key, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people will die in that position, or they'll die in place looking forward to retirement because they want to get out of there, when mm-hmm. in fact, maybe they're great in a lot of the aspects of the work, but the environment's bad or something. So if you can get them to identify that and feel empowered to change the environment, they might be able to continue and flourish in that line of work, but in a different environment of doing it.
That's great. We're almost at our break point, but I want to come we'll take the break. When I come back, Jim, I want to know, to Scott's point here, how do you help somebody find that, and what have some of the repetitive experiences that you've had in helping people where they may think one thing and in fact it turns out to be something else?
Love to answer that.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after with Jim and Scott and more of how to find a purpose-filled life.
Beautiful.
And now back to The Rad Life with Rod Gatos.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us again after our break. Today, if you are just joining us, we do have two guests in the studio. Scott Shire from Quintessential Financial Insurance Services Corporation and Jim Sullivan from Career Direct. And we've been talking about everything from, we start off talking about like how to secure your financial well-being so that you can actually pursue a purpose-filled life, if you will, and a passion focused life, and then we're now in the midst of actually talking about how you go about doing that. And Jim shared that through his company Career Direct, they have some tools to help do with that kind of assessment, whether you are at the beginning of your career, whether you're a teenager thinking what to do for college, or even if you are in your later. I don't like the word twilight for some reason. You know, it just seems like the light is going to dim and go out, right? We do not like the word twilight, Paul. We will not use it on the show again. But if you're later in life, and especially if you find yourself now torn between not the unburdening of just what to do with your time, but how to also go back around and finance your time. So finding the purpose, but also finding the way to do it. And so I'm going to go turn back to Jim. We asked the question before the break of how somebody can go about doing that. And what are some of the things that you have encountered in doing this? How long have you been doing this, Jim?
This particular product, Career Direct, about 3 years.
But it sounds like you've been involved with the sort of guidance for a lot longer.
This whole area, about 22 years.
Yeah, that's pretty solid background. Thank you for being here today. So I'll turn it over to you. How do I find my purpose?
Well, it all starts off with an hour and a half online assessment that you take, and we ask you to have a quiet time for that hour and a half. You go through it, answer those questions, some 500 plus questions, and that report is sent to me. Mm-hmm. I sit down and review about 35 pages and make notes, things I may have a question about. And this is all before I even meet the person. Mm-hmm. I may have talked to them, got them where they needed to do the assessment, but I have really never met them face-to-face for the most part. So we get together for this 2.5-hour consultation, and I start off actually by doing a little interview because I don't know this person from Adam.
Right.
So I ask them about, Let's take a person, an example. She's probably about 39 years old, an attorney, and I'll sit down and ask her, what classes did she like when she was back in grade school or high school? What teachers stood out? As I go through this interview process with school and with work, mm-hmm. takes about 20 minutes. And it helps us get engaged. So I'm learning more about her. Now we open up the document, and I walk her through it page by page.
Right.
And I will ask her questions. I will kind of dig into areas that maybe she's hesitating about. So my role is to help her or any individual doing this discover their unique purpose, their unique design. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a personality. There's occupational interests, skills and abilities. And then when you add in work environment, work outcome, and what does she want as a work outcome, mm-hmm. most people don't even think about that.
Right.
And so when you see it in black and white that these are the top eight that you want to see in a job, mm-hmm. well, when you go into interview or you're going to have clients to work with, you're going to ask about those things. And if you can't accomplish those, you're not going to be happy, just like the work environment.
You know what I find fascinating is I'm kind of astounded that what we usually feel we don't have enough time to sit down and get quiet with ourselves and figure out, if we actually sit down and be quiet with ourselves for an hour and a half, mm-hmm. it actually starts the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And
yes.
you know, the thing about what would make me happy, what kind of environment I really would flourish in versus not. Again, you know, the way that societal programming, if you will, is, you're almost like, you just deal with whatever you are in. You know, whatever environment you're in, you just make the best of it kind of thing. When in fact, yes, that is one possible way to go about it, mm-hmm. but another way it would be to actually maybe enhance your chances of succeeding and being productive by actually looking out a little bit maybe more critically for where you should go.
Yes.
So it is fascinating that, you know, what most people probably think is just such an arduous task can actually begin with an hour and a half of being quiet with yourself.
Absolutely. And then as we are moving through this and we're getting down, remember I mentioned the funnel.
Uh-huh.
So the funnel is coming down to the very last thing is life values. What are your life values? And this isn't done on a scale. It's done on priorities.
Right.
So you have to place in priority order certain values. And it's very telling.
Mm-hmm.
So now we walk through this tunnel over the funnel and we get down to the bottom, and what comes out of that will be usually anywhere from 1 to 3 occupational opportunities that they are a perfect match for.
Right.
Now, I don't tell them what job to go do, where to go find it. I help them understand what those occupations really are. And then let's picture a donut,
mm-hmm.
okay? So a round donut in the center is where we would put the occupations, and let's say there's 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the donut is the cooked part,
mm-hmm.
and those are
the yummy doughy part.
Exactly. And that's the part that are the means to the end, to the occupation.
Right.
And so I will help them walk through what those means are based on the report we went through, but then that's part of their homework.
Right.
And usually if all the assessments I've ever done, if they're a couple single people, but if you're married, your spouse is there with you, and they learn some new things about their spouse
mm-hmm.
they didn't realize, as Scott
sure.
can attest to. And then
that might be a whole new show.
That could be.
That's a whole nother chapter.
He definitely married up. She is just a fabulous woman. And so with the understanding of the means to an end, and then this is a critical part, helping people discern what is a hobby or lifestyle versus a means to an end or a vocation. It's huge. Most people don't think about it. Part of what I do is help them discern that. I will kind of dig into it as a detective. And so with a number of folks that I've worked with over these years, one of my passions is to work with 16 to 19-year-olds because they need the support of their parents.
Yeah.
And when the parents are involved in this, and there was one family with a 16-year-old, that when I finished, the father came up to me afterwards with tears in his eyes, and he just said, "Jim, I have never seen my daughter interact with another adult like she did with you. And my wife and I learned some new things about how to support her into her college years."
Right. Well, I'll tell you something. It's interesting because, again, just reflecting back on my own background experience support system, I have another... We're going to be talking about all these cousins and aunts and uncles that I have. But anyway, I have another cousin that I know that, for example, can talk to my dad about pretty much anything. He can't talk to his dad about everything. And it doesn't mean that they don't have a good relationship. They have a great relationship. It's just that there's people within your infrastructure, within your support circle, that you are feeling a little bit more comfortable discussing certain things with than others.
Yes.
And when you don't have that necessarily as part of your daily stuff,
right.
you seek it either through your friendships, your circle of friends, your circle of colleagues, people that you work with. But again, you know, it's funny because you're providing, what I'm hearing is that you're providing that ear that maybe is not missing because of any animosity in the family structure, but it's just not there.
Yes.
And so you're not only benefiting the person you are consulting. Again, it's not really consulting. It's more of a guidance, I think.
It is,
right?
Yes.
But you're also benefiting everybody else that is connected to them possibly improving those relationships. That's huge.
Oh, my gosh. One point was one family. I have a real good friend that has 2 16-year-old granddaughters. And a couple of years ago, I was telling him about this. And he said, "Well, you know, I'm investing in my grandkids. Could I pay for this and be there with my kids who are her parents?" And they were. So mm-hmm. the grandparents were there. The parents were there. And this young lady just opened up, and we were halfway through, and the grandfather stopped, and he said, "Can I just say one thing? I have never seen anything like this before. I've never seen my granddaughter talk about these issues
mm-hmm.
like this."
Mm-hmm.
And so he just said, "Thank you." I mean, he just jumped right in and then was quiet the rest of the time. But then moving on to other areas of skills and abilities, and I prefer to say, as opposed to twilight years or older, another season in your life.
Absolutely.
And so as folks are passing from season to season, this particular assessment tool is so valuable because I've worked with a lot of folks in their late 50s, early 60s that finished well, quote, retired, but didn't want to stop doing something. Mm. And so we sat down with them and walked them through this, and they realized that their giftedness kind of stayed the same, but their interest in vocation or
changed.
And so I helped them walk through and dig the same stuff out, but a little bit differently, of course, in their season of life. And they arrived at areas they said, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize this was possible to do. Mm-hmm. And so it gave them kind of a whole new direction to go. And then if you can have a spouse there was an occasion where a friend of mine actually paid for this consultation to take place with a friend of his that had lost a job, very talented, kind of close to 50-year-old couple, went and worked with them. And when that time was all over, the wife, as I was walking out, came up and she just said, you know, I have always thought my husband had potential in some other areas, but till we went through this whole assessment and consultation,
didn't really know where.
Yeah, and she goes, you helped him discover that, and now I can support him as his spouse.
How wonderful is that? You actually enriched their relationship.
Yes.
And took it to a different level. And, you know, you use the word season, right? It's funny, because I have always, and it started off with, I started getting a little salt and pepper in my beard. People say, well, why don't you shave your beard? You know, you'd look a lot younger. You'd lose like 10 years of my face. And I would say, well, you know, this is seasoning. And this is $100 extra an hour here, right here.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
So seasoning is actually, you know, and you start looking at other symbolism. And seasoning is how a meal becomes special, right?
Yes.
And the more you cook it and the more you get comfortable with what seasoning and maybe even taking risk with your seasoning.
Oh, can I use this?
Absolutely. You can use seasoning all day long. Okay. I won't even charge you for it. But just so that everybody who can't see us in here, between Paul, Scott, and myself, there's a lot of seasoning going on. <in here. laughs> So we'll leave it at that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pictures if you want to look. Paul, we'll need to take a picture of Paul too. You know, because I think
I got the most seasoning. I think.
Yeah,
so.
he's very seasoned.
It's amazing that seasoning tends to happen after about the 5-0 point.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I think I'm a little charred, in fact. Here.
You're charred.
Okay.
But you know what? Some people like charged stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, different strokes for different folks.
You know, a lot of people, though, they get stuck in that self-imposed funnel, even looking at themselves.
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying, that hour and a half of quiet where you start answering without thinking much, just first reaction.
Well, I just want to point out one thing that you mentioned before we kind of lose focus of it. And you said that grandparent and grandfather actually saw it as investing mm-hmm. in the future of his grandkids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This wasn't sort of a self-help kind of thing. We're just doing on some Sunday when we have some extra time, and it's like whatever. There was an awareness. Now, maybe not wasn't the case when they called you, but while you were going through the process, they made the connection that this was an investment in the grandkids' life.
Well, he actually used that word prior to doing the consultation.
Oh, he did.
He did. Yeah.
That's a great grandfather.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I went through the 3-day training to be able to do that, just so I could administer this evaluation for my 5 kids.
Yeah.
But, of course, they didn't want to do it with the dad.
Of course not.
Yeah. So I hired and invested in Jim to come and do it with
them. Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's why, you know, even when you have meetings between people that are colleagues in a company, you have a facilitator.
Right.
You know, I serve on a whole bunch of nonprofits, and we always have retreats, and it's always a facilitator. It's not because you can't have somebody do it, but sometimes that neutral outside voice is more receptive, and people can hear beyond the emotional connections and the baggage and all the stuff that's there.
Right. They don't have the preconceptions.
They don't have
either.
The preconceptions.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's very valuable. Let's stay on that idea of investing, okay? So that's fine. I've now taken the time to figure out what my purpose is, okay? How many times, Jim, do you find that people who think this is what their passion and purpose is, in fact, isn't in line with what it is? Do you find that is the case
before
the program?
Oh,
and
all
after
the time.
Okay.
All the time. The assessment part, they have no idea what it's going to reveal as they're going through it. So,
which I'm sure could be a little scary, too. I mean, when you commit to do that, that's an unknown that you're willing to now face, right?
That's true.
Yeah. My kids were afraid to tell them to do a different major, so they didn't want to do it. Wait, I'm doing what I want to do. Don't tell me otherwise.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, along those lines of majors, This is an organization that is global. It's currently in 19 languages, and we have an 80-year-old lady in Ontario that is Chinese that is doing this assessment with Chinese folks that live out in Ontario, uh-huh. and she does it in English and in Chinese because the report can be in any one of 19 languages. So
nice.
I have recently worked with a Korean family. The parents were bilingual. The son was very bilingual. He was 17, and he helped kind of translate as we were going forward. And what I had never done that type of consultation before, but what I learned was his parents got so engaged mm-hmm. in this that he had to translate a few things here and there, and it was almost like he got a different respect for his parents mm-hmm. based on how he could help them understand him.
Right.
Sometimes
people are talking across purposes versus to each other, mm-hmm. and sometimes it takes that, I think, that third party or some catalyst that maybe bridges that
yeah.
past it. And the longer you do that sort of disconnect, the longer it gets entrenched, the harder it is to get past. So I'm really happy to hear that this is a program that isn't necessarily, even though our focus is more sort of later in life when you have a lot of seasoning, but it's also, you know, something that can be beneficial and applicable to younger people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, actually, it is over the years, probably, for those folks that may remember Larry Burkett
mm-hmm.
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Larry, this was something that he created almost over about 25 years ago, and it's evolved and it's improved, and it went from paper to online. And the whole consultant model only came about in the last 6 or 7 years. And it's been a tool that's been refined. And to see how it does help people.
Mm-hmm.
And another key part of it is when folks in there, several folks that I've done this with that have been in their 60s,
mm-hmm.
were frankly trying to figure out, what am I going to do this in this season?
I don't really know.
And the skills I had over here don't necessarily work for where I want to go now. And so what I found is this, interestingly enough, works equally well
right.
for a person in that time of
in
life.
In their 60s.
Yeah.
Well, it's the uncertainty, right? It's the lack of clarity. It's the uncertainty.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the, you know, again, we say, you know, we start off saying, you know, what do I do when I grow up? Well, it's like, what do I do while I'm growing up as well?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that, again, when you're younger and you may feel that you want to go down what you consider an individualized path. It's your path. It's your journey of life, right? And I tell people all the time, I said, you know, don't rob yourself of your own story or your own journey. A lot of people sometimes it's like, well, I'm going to go down that path because I think it's safe and secure. Well, again, we've just identified that the way that the work environment is these days, there is no such thing. Not really. So if you can meld nicely your passion, your purpose, the innate skills that you have with what it is that you can make a living at,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sort of the cliche is if you work at what you are passionate about, then you never really work a day in your life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not work.
That's right.
Well, yeah, it's hard work, but it's, you know, so let me ask you, Jim. How much does that program cost? I mean, what's the cost on something like that?
Well, for a educational assessment and consultation for a student,
yeah.
it ranges between $160 to probably $225, depending on the
very reasonable
the consultant. For an occupational, when you're out of school.
Mm-hmm.
It'll range from probably $220 to around $300. So it varies depending on, as a matter of fact, for me, I give what I call a package. There's some additional books and material I give my client over and above. So that would be the difference in the cost.
Well, so
very reasonable.
So what we're seeing is very reasonable.
Right.
And when you really look at what the return on that quote-unquote investment could potentially be, It was ridiculous that you wouldn't do it, right?
And I always talk with parents, you know, from a financial planning standpoint, and they talk about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing with your kids?
Right.
If you are not investing in your kids,
right.
you're going to pay for the rest of your life.
Right. Yes. Well, and you know, I introduced Scott, and I did it on purpose. I introduced him sort of as the financial and insurance. When the whole really point of having Scott here is because he actually shows the benefits of what Jim's system does. And in fact, to your vocation of choice, Scott, it is investing in your children's future. And when we spend all this time and energy and awareness of investing in terms of the financial and the instruments and the insurance and all this stuff, this is as important, if not, in my mind, more important as a starting point.
Absolutely.
To invest in evaluating, getting that awareness. And because I don't know that you could put a dollar sign on that.
You can't. And you think about, a lot of people do. Matter of fact, they think, I got to work hard at the beginning to earn all the money. You know, the kids, I'll get back to them later.
Right.
I'm busy working. And then when I'm 60, then I'll be able to.
Then I'll have all the time in the world
back
for my kids.
But then,
and so,
yeah, then it's too late.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it's all part of that balance. And balance is a dynamic, and you have different seasons. But you've got to make sure that you're investing into your marriage and into your kids during that critical time.
Well, yeah, so you're evaluating the kids for what their strengths are, not yours.
That is such a key point,
right,
too, isn't it? So many parents think, I'm going to raise them because I know what they should do.
Right.
That Proverbs 3 chapter where it says, you know, raise a child in the way he should go, and then he won't depart from it.
Right.
It's like, I know which way he should go. No, you got to know your child and which way the child is
designed. And I think in some cases it's because I am so scared to deal or delve into something that is not something I have done.
Right.
That it's too risky.
Right.
Right. And what if I mess up? Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, we're almost out of time, guys. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can find your product and how they can get hold of you?
The website is www.careerdirect-ge.org. And the GE stands for Global Edition because this is a global product.
That's available in multiple languages. I looked at that website, and it was pretty serious how well-intentioned this program is and how wide the goal is to reach and benefit and help people.
Yes.
And Scott, would you tell everybody how to get a hold of you for your wisdom, you know, to get in touch with you, and also your choice of careers, your financial and your insurance services?
Jim has one more thing you want to throw out.
In terms of getting hold of me directly,
yes.
Would I give out a phone number?
Absolutely, Jim.
Okay.
Go ahead.
949-235-5955.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. Scott, how do people get hold of you?
Sure. Easiest phone number also here is 949-770-7555. The website is www.QFCorp.com. And are you going to ask me, you know, why the quintessential?
Why
the quintessential? Because we do have quintuplets. So I've got five 19-year-olds that have all just started their college careers.
So you got a package deal from Jim.
yeah, exactly. Everything we do is a big package deal.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. That's you got some interesting graduations coming up, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We got everything's interesting.
Thank you for being here, guys. I appreciate your input and your guidance, Jim. I will look forward to looking into that program a little bit more, and I will definitely be sharing it with other people.
Right.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.